Everyone loves to receive gifts. And this season, God has several just for you. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us discover God's gracious gifts.
I suggest to you this morning, the material man has no room for Jesus Christ. He has room for overtime. He has room for possessions. He has room for savings. He has room for himself, but no room in the inn for Jesus Christ. Yet my Bible says it's not enough to have a motorhome, a boat, a funded retirement, and all the rest of it. If you don't have Christ, you've missed the most important thing of life.
For Christians, Christmas is more than a time of festive celebration. It's a time of reverence and wonder for the God who sent His Son to connect with the human race. The real gift of Christmas is Jesus. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, God's Gracious Gifts, Pastor Chappell will take us back to the place where Christ was born and remind us of why He came and what His birth means for us today. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called A Marvelous Gift.
Therefore, Jesus Christ was born as the Son of God, and Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. What an amazing miracle indeed. God in the flesh. Look at the verse in your notes, 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. And let's all of us on this Sunday morning just catch a glimpse at the theological truth, at the eternal truth of who Jesus really is. The Bible says in this verse, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Would you say that with me? God was manifest in the flesh. Say it again. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Why do we celebrate this season so emphatically? Is it because of the traditions of men, the American traditions of lighting candles? Is it because of the fact that there's even some false religious tradition associated with the Christmas season? No, we do not celebrate those traditions necessarily, though they are perhaps a part of the decor. But what we celebrate truly is this truth that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, the very Son of God. Colossians 2 and verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Truly, this was deity wrapped in humanity. This was truly, as the centurion said, as Jesus hung upon the cross, truly this was the Son of God. And my friend, from the manger to the grave to the empty tomb, He was and is the Son of God. Oh, listen, Christmas is not about presents. Christmas is about His presence. Christmas is about knowing Him and knowing that you will be with Him for all of eternity. And so the picture is a picture to behold and to contemplate. And then notice with me briefly the prophecy. There is a prophecy to be found in our text. And in verse 7 it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in what kind of clothes? Swaddling clothes. Some of you have been Christians for more than a few Christmases. Some of you perhaps have heard about swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes were a type of linen that was used in the burial process in the Holy Land. These were the types of clothing that, or shall we say, the type of material that would be wrapped around the body of someone at the time of their burial. And they would place, as we read later in the Gospels, various ointments, and various different types of ointment would be a preservant and would be placed upon these cloths. And here we see that Jesus, a newborn babe, was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And why do we refer to that as a prophetic sign? Because it points to us the fact that Jesus Christ was born to die. Jesus Christ came into this world not merely to establish a kingdom, though that will be established, but He came into this world to save us from our sin. And so the prophecy shows us that Jesus Christ was born to die, for Matthew 1 and 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Now again, someone says, well, how does someone get saved? And I ask you this question. Are you saved? Do you know that you are saved? Someone says, well, what does that mean? Do you know that your sins are forgiven, that you have been rescued from eternity without God in hell, and that you have a home in heaven someday? How many of you would agree with me that someone whose sins are forgiven is not going to hell and is on his way to heaven? Boy, he has been saved. And the Bible says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So how does someone get saved? What was the process whereby this was made possible? I want you to look in your notes at Philippians 2 and verse 5. And while we do not have time to expound every word here, I think we can read it and comprehend the great truth that is held here in Philippians 2, 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And notice this, please. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This Jesus Christ, this Christ who was in the form of God, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, according to the word of God, humbled himself and took upon him the form of a man. And in so doing that, Jesus Christ, who was deity wrapped in humanity, who lived a perfectly sinless life for 33 and a half years, now comes to the end of his life and is placed on a Roman cross. And there the Roman soldiers place the nails through his hands and his feet. And then the blood comes flowing out from his body. But now, my friends, this was not just any kind of blood. Because if we go back to that Bethlehem scene, we're reminded of the fact that the one that was born was the Son of God. And that the bloodline flowing through this Son of God was from the Holy Spirit of God. And that when that blood was shed, it was the blood that covers the sins of all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remind you of the fact that because Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross, anyone here this morning who wants to be saved can be saved, because there is room at the cross for you, you see. And there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And I'm telling you, this Christmas gift that I'm preaching about this morning, it's already been paid for, because Jesus paid for your salvation when Jesus shed his blood on that cross, you see. What a great gift. What a great provider, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the picture, and the picture is humbling to us to think that God became a man. And we see the prophecy that he was born to die. And I want to close this morning with this final thought, the problem. And I don't want to close on a negative, but it's something we must see if we're going to get the right understanding of that Christmas morning. Would you look at verse 7 with me once again? And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Now look right here for a minute. If the verse stopped there, we could leave and say, aw. She laid him in a manger. I watched some of you ladies, when that young lady stood up here with a little baby, some of you just going, aw. There's something about a little baby. It touches our hearts. And it's a blessing. And if that's where the story stopped in verse 7, we could just all walk out of here and go, aw. But let's read the rest of the verse. It says, she laid him in a manger. Why? Read it with me, would you? Because there was no room for them. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Now here's the problem. And this is a problem with Christians who are too busy to serve God, and Christians who are unwilling to live for Christ. There's a little room on Sunday morning on my calendar, but other than that, let's not get carried away, some Christians might say. But it's an even greater problem for people who have never once come to the place of receiving Christ as their Savior and opening up their heart and letting him come in. Because there are millions of people on this planet who have no room for Jesus Christ. They have room for all other thoughts of religion and philosophy and all other things, but no room for Jesus Christ. I suggest to you this morning, the material man has no room for Jesus Christ. He has room for overtime. He has room for possessions. He has room for savings. He has room for himself, but no room in the inn for Jesus Christ. Yet my Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I suggest to you this morning, it's not enough to have a motorhome, a boat, a funded retirement, and all the rest of it. If you don't have Christ, you've missed the most important thing of life. And there's a lot of material things to get. People have so much in their possession, they've got to now have a Darth Vader toaster, and they got to have a marshmallow gun, and they got to have Maestro the Mouse. What is it coming to? And I'm simply telling you, my friend, if you're going to try to buy happiness, you're never going to get it, because there's always some stupid product you're going to have. What does it gain a man? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? It seems like the material man, why, he thinks nothing of blowing a couple grand at Vegas. He thinks you're an idiot for tithing. The material man has no room in the inn. Then there's the intellectual man. Why, this man has come to the place that he realizes that there's no truth to be found in any one religion or any one prophet, that truth may be found in all the combination of all of them or in none of them at all. There's the atheistic man who's come to the place of believing that there is no God. And in order to come to that position, he himself must be omnipresent. He himself must have traveled to every planet, turned over every rock, looked behind every bush and every tree to determine that there is no God. And to say that there is no God is to announce that you are your own God. God, my friend. The intellectual man has come to the place of saying, I have no room for God. I have determined that I do not need God. God is a crutch for weak people. I am a strong person. I do not need God, so they say. But the Bible says something about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, for the foolishness of the cross, the preaching of the cross, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. My friend, they can call preaching foolish. They can call Christ and the cross foolish. But I want you to understand that to those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, He and He alone is the power of God within us. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, the material man says, I don't have any room. And the intellectual man says, I don't have any room. And even religious men say, you know, I worship God in my own way. I have my own denomination. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Hindu, whatever they say. But the fact of the matter is, my friend, you can have religion and still not have Christ. The Bible says in John 1 and verse 10, he was in the world, speaking of Christ. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There is one way to become a son or daughter of God. That is to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Can I encourage you this Christmas season? Don't get that attitude that says, no room in the inn. If you're a Christian today, would you keep your heart wide open to God's will for your life? Come into my heart, Lord, and direct me and show me whatever way you'd have me to go. But if you've never accepted Christ as Savior, please don't have that no room in the inn. Don't have that materialistic, intellectual, kind of religious jargon approach, but no real relationship with Jesus Christ, because He came down to this earth to provide for you the gift of forgiveness.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges, here on Daily in the Word.